What up, everybody? Welcome back to the Showtime Forum podcast, talking all things purple and gold. I'm your host, Chris Camello, joined as always by my esteemed co-host and Showtime Forum contributor, Mr. Chaz Pearson. What's up, Chaz?
Laker Nation, what's good?
Everything's doing all right, man. You know, just trying to get back into the swing of things. We got another good one for all you fans of the purple and gold. Has order been restored in Lakerland? Why has Dennis Schroeder all of a sudden become so much more valuable to LA? Was LeBron's response to Zlatan the right one? And what can Damian Jones do for the Lakers? We're breaking that all down and more on this edition of the Showtime Forum podcast. But before we do, be sure to follow us on all social media and streaming platforms at Showtime Forum. That's at Showtime Forum. You could also follow us on our website, theshowtimeforum.com. That's the theshowtimeforum.com. Chaz, we're still down on Twitter. Twitter still has us in jail right now, in Twitter jail, as they've liked to have done a lot over the last 6 months. Talk about cleaning house, but we never really thought that would apply to us. So for those still trying to find us on Twitter, we apologize. We are still up on Instagram. You can follow us on our website, Facebook. But Chaz, it's been a couple weeks since you and I got together to do this podcast. How have you been holding up, man?
I've been good, man. Just working a lot. Got a promotion at work, in the office a bunch. So yeah, I'm busy, but you know, nothing but comes before my Lakers. How about you, man? How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, it's been busy, man, on multiple fronts, a lot going on. So let's just jump right into it. Okay, so the sky was clearly falling for about a week.
No, I disagree, okay. But go ahead.
Okay, for most Laker fans, there was an air of frustration, disappointment, upset. They lost four in a row. They lost 5 out of 6. I mean, there just wasn't a lot to be cheerful about. Let's be honest. Maybe the sky wasn't falling. Maybe the sky wasn't falling. But still, you know, between Anthony Davis's injury and the team's initial play after his injury, it was disappointing. You got the break speed off of them in Denver. Then you beat Minnesota. Okay, cool. You go back home. You get the break speed off of you by the Brooklyn Nets, who were down Kevin Durant in that game. And the thing was, the Lakers didn't have Dennis Schroeder either, which was also a significant loss. We'll get into that a little bit later. Exactly. Wax. That's an understatement right there. You lose a close one to Miami. You lose a game in overtime to the Washington Wizards, who, despite their record, had actually come in playing some really good basketball. And then you drop another blowout loss to the Utah Jazz.
Wax.
I was waiting for it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, is this team going to win a game before the All-Star break? Or are they just going to limp to that finish line like somebody who's got a six mile lead in a marathon, just trying to drag that left leg across the checkered flag? So there was a lot. But then all of a sudden, Chaz, Dennis Schroeder comes back, and it was like a shot in the arm. It was like getting that second dose of the vaccine. All of a sudden, things fell into place. You beat a very good Portland team who is playoff bound. They're right in the middle of the pack. I know they're down a couple of key players in Yusuf Nurkic and CJ McCollum, but that was still an impressive win. And then you also get revenge on the Golden State Warriors.
Waxed.
I was waiting for it on Sunday night. So now, 2 games in a row, everyone's exhaling. Feeling good. We got to see LeBron James in flip-flops in a positive manner in a blowout win over the Golden State Warriors. So Chaz, has order been restored? Let me just ask you that first. Has order been restored for now?
LeBron's playing 20 minutes in a loss against the Warriors and cutting off his ice during the post-game news conference, and you can hear him toss it after during that press conference. Absolutely. Yes, order restored. Order was a little faulty for a little bit, but it never went away. Ultimately, the Lakers took care of what they needed to take care of. They got Dennis Schroeder back, and they are the team that they are. Now, can they sustain this going into the playoffs, to the finals potentially? Absolutely not. Not without Anthony Davis, not even being at 80 or 90%. You need a healthy 100% Anthony Davis to win a championship. So that's a given. LeBron's not going to be able to do it just on his own with the team as presently constructed, going up against that three-headed monster that is the Brooklyn Nets, or even a team like the Clippers, who's playing well, but obviously had a clunker against the Milwaukee Bucks and gave up that lead the other day, as we saw, or even a team like Utah that's just making everything from step back threes to pull-ups to floaters, Bogdanovich and Ingles and Jordan Clarkson, my boy, shout out Jay Clark, balling sixth man of the year front runner so far. I mean, these are all teams that are going to be able to give the Lakers the most and everything that they can handle, even if you have a healthy Anthony Davis. So order has been restored. They are playing the way that they need to again, because you lose pretty much the third best player on the team. Mm-hmm. You're down the second and third best player on the team for at least that four-game stretch against, or three-game stretch, I should say, against the Heat, the Wizards, and the Jazz. And then Schroeder comes back and the offense is humming again. I don't think that Vogel did team any favors in this time either as well. This won't be a popular take at all, but I think Vogel could have definitely coached better, and his lineups could have been a lot better. Specifically that Wizards game where Montrezl Harrell scored 29 points and didn't even sniff an overtime minute, only because Robin Lopez was in the game and Vogel was too scared to play Montrezl Harrell in the OT period. So that's one thing that I wanted to highlight on that. Yeah. And as far as the team just not even coming out to play against the Utah Jazz, complete clunker, absolutely waxed on and off the court. And sometimes you need, like Keith said, you need that ass whooping to be able to humble yourself and tuck your tail between your legs and figure some stuff out. And that's exactly what they did in that time period, because they played well against a team and a guy that plays well against the Lakers at home all the time. Right. And Damian Lillard, he gave us 35 and we still got the win handedly and held Steph to under 20 points. Obviously Draymond wasn't Draymond because of the left ankle sprain. And obviously they were already down 20-30 points when Draymond sprained his ankle. So no, you know, when you're playing every other day, no reason to bring him back so early. So good job to Steve Kerr on that, but absolutely waxed the Golden State Warriors. And let's go ahead and end the first half of the season with two great wins, right, against the Phoenix Suns, right? And then close off the first half of the season going into the All-Star break against the
Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings, who are actually playing much better ball these days.
Well, yeah, they just ended a 9-game losing streak. But, I mean, is that going to be enough to save Luke Walton's job? That's a conversation for another time. But, yeah, I agree. These are divisional games. One of them is against a team that's been red hot in the Phoenix Suns. After kind of a sluggish start, kind of average start, they've really kind of found their stride now. Really, their chemistry is coming together. And like you said, Sacramento has been playing a little bit better of late. And they've got an all-star caliber guard in De'Aaron Fox, another good youngster in Tyler Halliburton. So
Tyrese.
Oh, Tyrese. Halliburton. My apologies, but he's been impressive. So that's the issue with the Lakers right now, is can they finish this first half on a high note and have a little bit of momentum going into the All-Star break and really feel good about their position right now after the Sunday afternoon loss at the hands of Milwaukee Bucks. The Clippers lost, the Lakers won. So now Lakers by half a game are ahead of the Clippers for the number two seed in the West. And thanks to our old pals, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram in New Orleans, the Jazz have now, I think, lost what, two out of their last three?
Yeah, they've lost the last two, I believe.
Yeah, so they lost their last two games. So, you know, now they've got eight losses. So the Lakers are, you know, right back in contention. If they can continue to surge forward like this, that number one seed might not be as out of reach as we originally thought.
They've only lost a game from the time that Anthony Davis went out on the 6th of February till now. We're recording this on the 1st of March. The Lakers are only one game worse than they were out of first place than when Anthony Davis started. So Anthony Davis has missed, what, at least six games so far, maybe seven. So, and just in this stretch, not for the whole season.
Yeah,
He's missed other games. But Anthony Davis has missed a great deal of games so far. The Lakers still keeping pace. The number one seed, it's within reach. It hasn't gone away. And even though they slid down to as low as number three, they're back up to number two and could get back into number one pretty soon, but maybe when with a couple wins and going after the All-Star break.
It's going to be interesting to see what is going to be happening with Anthony Davis. So far, there's actually been some positive reports that he was doing some light shooting, a little bit of drills. I know Robert Clapper tweeted out saying, you know, it looks like the 4-week timeline could be very well on track. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Things can happen. There could be a setback. There could be all these other things. I know the Lakers, Rich Paul, Rob Pelinka, everybody involved in this thing, they want to make sure that when Anthony Davis comes back, there will be no setbacks, or at the very least, put him in a position where he's still thinking about it.
And he's still going to get two more weeks. No, don't mean to cut you off, but he's still going to get two more weeks because of the All-Star break.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, by the time Lakers' last game before the All-Star break is March 3rd, which is going to be Wednesday, their first game back is going to be March 12th. So that's 9 solid days. I know, I understand LeBron isn't going to be cashing in on all of that time off. He's headed to Atlanta along with the other All-Stars. Congratulations to LeBron, a team captain, I think, for a third straight year, for the Western Conference All-Stars. So it's good. It's going to be good to see him out there. And I'm sure it's going to be a great game. I'm kind of so-so about it. I still think it's an unnecessary risk, plus no fans. But, hey, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, everyone's trying to cash in when they can. But still, it's going to be much needed time off for everybody. But I still think, though, right now, the Lakers have seemed to have found something with these last two wins. And it would be hard to not put that emphasis on Dennis Schroeder. He has been a major part of the success the last two games, going up against Dame Lillard, going up against Steph Curry. You felt his impact. I think there was a sense of relief. There was a sense of excitement, like, man, we got our starting point guard back. And you and I, Shaz, we've criticized Dennis Schroeder on this podcast, talking about the things he's got to improve on, being more of a facilitator, not always looking for his own shot, and not getting too caught up in the personal battles against an opposing point guard. But with him out of the lineup, along with Anthony Davis out of the lineup, you definitely felt both of their presences, but you definitely felt it more with Dennis Schroeder, because now you don't have a secondary playmaker after LeBron James. And you saw how stagnant the offense looked when LeBron was on the bench. So when you got Dennis Schroeder back, now you become a multi-dimensional offense, as Jay Williams was talking about before the Warriors game. Now it's not just LeBron and the Pips. It's Dennis Schroeder, who's a guy capable of spearheading an offense. He could score, he could attack, he could defend, he could collapse the defense, he can get to the free throw line, he could shoot a little bit. So it was just such an invigorating re-addition into the lineup. And I think everybody, there was a sense of relief and excitement, and you saw how well he played against Portland. And then he followed that up with another great performance against the Golden State Warriors, and just everything came back in. Everything just kind of fell back into place, and we really felt Dennis Schroeder's positive impact, I think, really for the first time this season.
The thing that I saw last night wasn't the actual game. It was the meme that was posted. I'm not sure exactly by who, but it was a meme of Bugs Bunny counting the stack of ones and coins and stuff. And the meme said, this is Dennis Schroeder's agent, you know, after watching the last four games and then Dennis Schroeder playing tonight. I mean, he's been playing great the last couple of games, and he's doing exactly what he needs to do to be able to relieve some of the pressure off of LeBron James and to allow the Lakers to be able to get into the right sets and for Vogel to play better lineups, I think. What was the best thing that you saw from Dennis Schroeder and what he was able to accomplish in wins against the Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers?
It was everything. It was the playmaking. It was the defense. It was the energy. It was the tenacity. It was... Like I said, it was really a sense of relief that he was back out there. I think if nothing else for LeBron James, because now it's like, I don't have to shoulder everything myself. And I think it re-energized the lineup, because now it's like, we get a starter back. You know, this is something like we've been missing the last few weeks, and our offense has really suffered for it. And that with our offense, because I mean, you even saw it. I know the Lakers dropped a lot of points against the Washington Wizards, but I mean, there was also an overtime that was played there. But you know, some of these other games, like they couldn't even crack 90 points against Utah. They barely cracked 94 against Miami. Denver, I think they only scored like 90 or 92 points in that loss. I mean, that was Schroeder played in that one, but still, it was, I think they scored 98 against Brooklyn. So it just didn't seem like they were themselves. They were down two starters. And I think what I really believe frustrated people too, and this is a bit of a side note, was I think people saw how well the Clippers played minus four starters. And it's like the Clippers were in those games minus four starters. Lakers are down two starters. They still have LeBron James. They still have Kyle Kuzma. They have Marc Gasol. They have all these other guys. And yet we're still getting smoked. Our offense is still stagnant. Why isn't anybody else stepping up? But it just goes to show you that some of these teams are set up differently. And guys sometimes are willing to step up in the absence of other players and are able to do it a little bit more seamlessly. But when you have a team like the Lakers where everybody plays better next to the stars and those stars are now missing, it's really hard for them to all of a sudden start becoming or start playing roles that they're not accustomed to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what pissed me off the most wasn't the fact that Clippers had four starters on this team. It was just the fact that you know what this team is like when they try, and you just knew that they weren't trying.
So Dennis Schroeder, he actually played very, very well and restored order, like we had talked about, for the Lakers offensively and defensively. He did everything that he was supposed to and got everybody back into their correct spots, as well as allowing Vogel to play his best lineups, because obviously, like I said, he didn't do a great job in that four-game stretch. But nevertheless, the Lakers got the win, and they were able to start to focus on some other things and allowed LeBron to have a pretty interesting post-game conference about some comments that we all knew that he was going to comment on. Tell us about it, Chris.
Yeah, that was really – that took center stage. In addition to the Lakers, as significant, I should say, as the Lakers – defeating the Portland Trailblazers and doing it without Anthony Davis and ending a four-game losing streak, there was a comment made by former LA Galaxy star Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic,
a Swedish soccer star, has played with the Galaxy. He's currently now with Manchester United. And his comments, I mean, it was just very interesting. He had a, I think it was with Discovery Plus in Sweden. So here's the exact quote. "I like James a lot. He's phenomenal. What he's doing, but I don't like when people with a status speak about politics. Do what you're good at doing. I play football because I'm the best at playing football. I'm no politician. If I'd been a politician, I would be doing politics. This is the first mistake famous people do when they become famous. For me, it is better to avoid certain topics and do what you're good doing. Otherwise, you risk doing something wrongly." Now, before we get into LeBron's comments, the response, I should say, Zlatan is probably one of the most outspoken soccer players we have. Ever. I remember the time with the Galaxy. There was always a lot of trash talk that with LAFC, with other, you know, soccer stars. That's just the way this dude rolls.
The guy backs it up too.
He does. He's a sensational soccer player. There's no doubt. And the Galaxy really haven't quite been the same since he's been gone. However, the issue that I had with those comments were, it's like, you're basically saying, just don't say anything. You're best off not saying anything. And LeBron James, he basically said, "I will never shut up and dribble," because basically these comments were a derivative of what we heard from Laura Ingraham on her show, The Ingraham Angle, on Fox News. What, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Almost four. Almost four, I believe.
And LeBron basically said, "I'll never just shut up and dribble. I will always use my platform to," and I'm paraphrasing, of course, basically LeBron James will never back down on anything that he is passionate about. Now, the controversy here is, one, Zlatan is a fellow athlete who has also spoken about social injustice issues as it relates to him being accused of racism in Sweden because of where his dad comes from in Bosnia. And then also, too, one of his favorite athletes ever is Muhammad Ali. And I think he said because of what he did inside and outside the ring. And we know Ali is probably one of the most polarizing figure as an athlete who was also an activist. And he did so in a time where that was completely unheard of, what he spoke up about against social injustice and police brutality and specifically the Vietnam War. I mean, he had the summit in Cleveland with Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell. So you want to talk about somebody who was an activist who spoke out about things besides boxing. Muhammad Ali is really the role model that a lot of athletes take to. So it's just ironic that this guy who has spoken out about racism as it affects to him, as well as idolizes Muhammad Ali, who has been one of the more outspoken athletes about social injustices and other subjects and topics in the political arena. And that is a figure he looks up to, but it's not okay for LeBron James to speak out against police brutality in his community, get people registered to vote. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. But go ahead. Let me get your initial reaction on it.
Zlatan was right. The irony in what he said is the fact that he was right. Do not comment on anything that you do not know anything about. And that's exactly what he decided to do when discussing LeBron James and this entire subject. You have no idea what you're even talking about. Mm-hmm. On what this man that you wanted to single out, pretty much, because he is the athlete that has spoken out the most and is at the forefront as an active athlete, mm-hmm. speaking out against social injustices and not only creating more than a vote, but being more than an athlete and having all of the different streams of income and the different lanes that he's in, right. and doing them at such a high level simultaneously. You only are capable of one lane and doing it at a high level, and really not even at that much of a high level anymore compared to what you used to be. Number one, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But he decided to speak on matters that he didn't know anything about. He doesn't know of the intricacies that are that's going on in America and why LeBron James decided to speak out. He doesn't know the pure history of the last 400 years of America and why Black people and minorities in general, but specifically Black people and the plight that they've had in this country that we have chronicled very well on this podcast and we won't go into right now. Mm-hmm. Zlatan has no idea. So, but he decided to not take his own advice. You're right. I completely agree with you. No one should ever speak on anything that they have no knowledge or experience about. But he decided to do exactly just that, and decided to do that. And it made absolutely no sense. And he's completely backwards in why he wants to idolize Ali but condemn somebody like LeBron. And at the same time, I did love LeBron's comments on saying he has no idea and the educated mind in which and the different position that LeBron James comes from. Like, he's educated. He doesn't speak on things that he doesn't know about. He says everything. Like, he went and got his people to make sure to look up the Ali stuff before he said it. But he said it like, oh, yeah, is that right? He knows it's right, because he wouldn't have said it. And he had a couple days, or at least a day and a half or whatever, to be able to formulate a response. And I'm glad that he did. But what Stephen A. said and what Kendrick Perkins said and what a lot of other people said, he's better than me. Because I would have hung Zlatan's ass out to dry, mm-hmm. on an international level. Like, this would have been world headlines, the stuff that I would have said about this guy and the depths that I would have took it to. But LeBron James is, you know, He is that guy.
And Chaz, I want to get more of your reaction on it, but I just want to put out I didn't have the original quote that LeBron said in response to Zlatan. I will never shut up about things that are wrong. I preach about my people and I preach about equality, social justice, racism, voter suppression, things that go on in our community. Because I was a part of my community at one point and saw the things that were going on and I know what's still going on because I have a group of 300 plus kids at my school that are going through the same thing and they need a voice. I'm their voice, and I use my platform to continue to shed light and everything that might be going on, not only in my community, but in this country around the world. And it goes on to say, he's the guy who said in Sweden, he was talking about the same things because his last name wasn't a traditional Swedish last name. He felt there was some racism going on. I speak from a very educated mind. I'm kind of the wrong guy to go at because I do my homework.
The guy does his homework and he knows his stuff and he's not going to speak on things that he has no business speaking about.
Right.
And that's exactly what this guy decided to do. So to be honest with you, I'm like James Worthy. When James Worthy, Big Game James, was asked about it on the post game show right after LeBron, you know, made his comments, he didn't even want to discuss what Zlatan said. And to be honest with you, neither do I. Let's keep it moving, big dog.
And you know what? You're right. And I'm never quite comfortable having these types of conversations, but guess what, Chaz, they need to happen whether we like it or not. And here's what I have come up with. First of all, you know what I thought of today for the first time since hearing these comments, the one thing that stood out to me, Zlatan said something about people, once they get famous and make some money, they all of a sudden think that they could start talking politics. Well, who is our president for the last 4 years, right? No experience in politics.
None.
Yeah, a businessman who basically became a TV character, and he got into the political arena. Now, here's the similarities, right? LeBron James speaks for the people that can't speak for themselves because they don't have a platform. These are common, everyday people who try to work and provide a living for themselves, their spouses, their families, whatever. He has a voice for them, right? Donald Trump, the ex-president, number 45, also, whether you agree with it or not, felt like he was the voice for a certain part of America. So the difference is, though, Trump actually ran for president and LeBron James is still LeBron James, the best basketball player in the world and the face of the league, and certainly a guy who the buck stops with him in all serious matters going to the league. As great of young talent as we have, James is still the figure, even at 36 years old. So that's one aspect I wanted to point out. The other aspect is this. When I commented on this, and I don't ever really like to comment on things like this because of the Twitter backstorm that we have and things like that, and people just want to gouge and hate and troll and all of those things, and I just don't like to always deal with it. Not to say that I don't support it, but I just, you know, I'm not saying that I don't support what LeBron James said, but I just don't want to have those idiots breathing down my neck for that. You don't understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the one thing that people always tend to point out on LeBron James is the whole thing about the China situation and all of that. Like that's it. And I always feel like telling people that's your only argument, where he didn't really, I mean, there's millions and billions of dollars at stakes and everything like that. So if that's the only thing that you're going to get on him on, then what exactly are we talking about over here?
Silence is golden. Sometimes your silence speaks louder than any kind of words you could even possibly speak. And in that situation with China and with what Daryl Morey decided to do with putting his own NBA family at risk, right? Even though that's not your team, that's still your NBA family, right? That's still somebody that represents the league that you love and care about and work in for decades on decades now. So the irresponsible tweet that Daryl Morey decided to send out, LeBron James decided to be silent and not throw gas on a fire that was already brewing.
Yeah.
And becoming much larger and larger and larger, and rightfully so.
And unfortunately,
why? Because he wasn't as educated. I believe he didn't know enough about the context,
right,
of what was going on to be able to speak on it, right? Maybe what Daryl Morey said, yes, but about the politics and how deep on why Daryl Morey's comments affected the Chinese government the way that it did, right? Like he knows that it affects them, but why does it affect them? And the certain context around it, he has to understand the intricacies of the situation before he even speaks on it. And that's a smart man, because lots of other people, specifically the Twitter trolls that you're talking about that want to hound you or anybody else that make a comment about something controversial,
right?
He's not just going to say anything just to be able to say it or feel better about it or make one minute point. He wants to be able to make a larger point, something that is more effective. And that's the point that he made last night in his post-game conference, which I was very grateful for. He actually let Zlatan off the hook a lot easier than I think he should have. But at the end of the day, the point on what he said about how he is the voice for the people who don't have a voice was the thing that stood out to me the most, and why he's going to be the greatest athlete, not basketball player, not champion, not any athlete. He's one of the greatest athletes of all time on and off the floor, just like Ali. And he's going to go down as it.
That's well said. And let me just say a couple more things on this. One, these athletes now are in a precarious position, because you know as well as I do, Chaz, there is the narrative out there of, well, if you're silent, you're complicit. You just said silence is golden. And you're right on certain aspects. But now on certain things, it's like, if you don't say anything, you don't speak up, you're seen as part of the problem, or you're in bed with the man, and the man's going to muzzle you. And you're going to do is basically collect your checks and keep it moving. Remember The Last Dance, Michael Jordan fell under fire for that. Maybe not to the heaviest of scrutiny, because it was on a smaller scale in the state of like North Carolina and whatnot. And obviously there was no social media then. And there weren't these agenda-based news networks in abundance like we have now. But still, he still faced a backlash for not saying anything. LeBron James says something and you're going to upset a certain amount of people, and the people who just want to see him as a basketball player and an athlete and not as an activist or anything like that. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Here's my other aspect too. We don't always have to agree with what somebody is standing for in order to respect it. As long as you're not inciting hate, as long as you're not creating division, as long as you're not putting out threats, you know what I mean? We don't have to always agree with what our favorite athletes are doing in order to respect what they're trying to accomplish.
Great point.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we've come, and I was telling my dad this before we actually started recording this. We have gotten to a point where it's us against them. There is no middle ground anymore. You're either on our side or you're the problem. You're the enemy. And we will demonize, villainize, humiliate, discredit, do whatever we can to bury you. Both sides of the political spectrum. Conservatives do it to liberals, liberals to conservatives, all of that. And I'm not saying LeBron James has done that. I think he's actually done a pretty good job kind of steering clear of those things. Yeah, he's made unflattering comments about the president, calling him a bum. Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't exactly agree with that, because I just think LeBron James is better than that. You don't need to wallow in the mud with all of that. But I mean, heck, you know, calling somebody a bum compared to inciting hate or inciting riots or things like that, I mean, that's a far cry from all of that. But my point being is,
it was just so fitting though, Chris.
That's why it was. I'm just saying I wouldn't have done it. Chris Comello wouldn't have done it. Doesn't mean that, you know, tens of millions wouldn't have done it either.
I'm just saying though,
we've gotten to a point like where if somebody says something that you don't agree with, now we're going to spew hate on it. And there are people who I know who are big Laker fans, big LeBron fans, but also Republicans, conservatives, big Trump fans. You know, some of them are my friends. Some of them are even my family and stuff like that. But what we cannot do is create this double standard of when somebody speaks up about something that they're passionate about and it doesn't fit your narrative, you become the problem. Laura Ingraham told LeBron to shut up and dribble because he was criticizing then President Donald Trump. Drew Brees came out and said something in support of, I can't remember the exact quote.
In support of the flag.
In support of the flag. Yeah. Standing for the anthem. Yeah. I can't remember the exact issue it was, but I remember people were very upset at that because it felt like he was not for the movement, not for his teammates and what was passionate for them. And there were people who were very upset with Drew Brees. And then
just missed the boat.
Laura Ingraham, same figure who told LeBron to shut up and dribble, said, what about Brees' First Amendment right? You know what I mean? So it's like you villainize LeBron because he's against Trump and you praise Drew Brees because he's speaking up for what he believes in. And it's just funny to me that there is this double standard and LeBron James always seems to be in the center of it, even though many athletes across all the different sports, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, even have all spoken out about social injustices and the things that go on in their communities and the things that they're passionate about. So, I mean, I just think all of this stuff just needs to stop. I'm not saying we all have to agree with it, but if you're putting something out there that is trying to be to the benefit of people that you care about and the issues that you care about, then you know what? I'm all for it.
People just can't stand it when you're just unapologetic about it. The reason why I can say LeBron James will go down as the greatest athlete is because he's not just black, right? He's not just a black athlete who's the greatest of all time, the physical specimen that he is, that's going to go down as probably the most winningest basketball player as well. But he's unapologetically black, right? Yeah. Like Jordan was Jordan, but Jordan was just trying to get his money and live his life and do his thing. He wasn't trying to elevate his people. There's a bunch of other people that, you know, Kobe, for instance, Kobe wasn't trying to do that. Not on the scale that LeBron James has. Mm-hmm. He may have wanted to. He may have aspired to, but he wasn't able to get to what LeBron James has been able to do. Nobody has, for that matter. LeBron James is just unapologetically black. And that's what pisses white America off so much. That's why they tell him to shut up and dribble. Because he's black and it's in your face with it. I'm gonna be black and still get GQ and Forbes and Nike and all these other brands because I've never done anything off the court for you to slander me or for you to say anything negative about me. Anything that you say negative about me is just opinion. It's not fact because I've never done anything. Mm-hmm. And that, oh man, that kills some people all the time. That's why LeBron James made the comments that he did in the finals when he said what he said about everybody just going back to their lives and being broke. That's what it was interpreted as. You still gonna be broke and mad, whether you're white, black, green, whoever. I loved that comment.
I remember that. Yeah.
didn't have a single championship to his name, but was unapologetic about how he felt and what he said.
Yeah.
And now here he is, four rings later, at the height of his fame and power, and is still saying the things that he needs to say and letting people off the hook, like Zlatan, as he shouldn't have. That's part of the reason why LeBron James is going to go down as the greatest to me personally. One of the greatest. I mean, Kobe's always going to have that spot for me, but I mean, for what LeBron James does off the court and how unapologetically black that he is, I love it. Why? Because I'm the same way. Anytime anybody see me hopping out of my car or what I'm doing or who's that or whatever the case is, I love it. I absolutely love it. And any other young black brother that's doing the same thing, you know exactly how I feel and why I'm saying what I'm saying. Absolutely love it.
And I think if Zlatan would have just said something along the lines of, look, LeBron James is doing what he's doing, I respect the fact that he is actually taking a stand on certain issues, even if I don't necessarily agree with what he's talking about or how he's talking, whatever the case may be, I think those comments would have actually gone over a lot smoother. But when you just say, hey, you know, stay out of it, you know, you think you're famous, that therefore you think you should get involved or whatnot, that's not right either, especially when you've also spoken out on certain things. And
yeah, why can't you speak about it, but I can't?
Right, exactly. And the thing is, it's like, you know, Max was trying to split hairs, basically saying like, well, was he talking about just politics or social injustices or things like that or racism? They all go hand in hand in one aspect or another. You know what I mean? Maybe not directly, maybe they don't always directly overlap, but they still overlap in some fashion.
What did Max say exactly? Because I didn't get to
He was basically talking about, is politics different than social injustices? Because I think one time Zlatan was asked about Trump, because that was during the time he was playing for the Galaxy, and Zlatan just pretty much pled the fifth. Like he was like, I don't know. I don't really want to talk about it. Not really knowledgeable on it. So he basically just stepped away, which was fine. I mean, that's respectable. You don't want to answer on it. You don't feel confident enough to talk about certain issues. That's fine. I know I've taken a step back on certain things. When people have asked me questions about where I stand on certain things, I'm like, let me do a little bit more research before I just dive into this pool that I don't know what's in there, because all we see is little bits and pieces. Let me get the whole story, and then I'll get back to you on that. So I think what Max was trying to say was, is it just politics, just the political arena that he wanted LeBron to stay away from, or was it everything? Politics, social injustice, racism, police brutality, whatever the case may be.
LeBron James has never made a political statement, to my knowledge.
Outside of calling the president a bum, I think. Like,
that was personal.
Like, yeah, that was personal.
That wasn't political. Right. That was personal.
And I can't remember, but him and KD did that backseat interview with Kerry Champion driving. And I think it was in Cleveland, right? That was, I don't know if it was like during the finals or something. That was like 2018. That's where Shut Up and Dribble came from.
Still wasn't politics though.
It still wasn't politics, but it was still
social social issues, right. Certain, you know, but they all go hand in hand.
And he didn't publicly endorse Biden and Harris.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He's never made a political statement. He's always taken.
Although he did congratulate them for winning the election. That's as far as it went.
I can't remember. But you can, just because you could tell what side is that he's on doesn't mean that he's making a political statement, you know? So
yeah.
So whether or not Max was splitting hairs or not, I mean, that's what Max does.
And we got to see things.
Millions of dollars to do.
Yeah. And Chaz, we got to see things in the total spectrum. I can't walk in your shoes, right? I don't know the type of upbringing that you have. I don't know what you have to go through day in and day out, just like you don't know what I have to go through. But at the same point in time, I'm willing to listen and empathize and understand. And I think we need to do more of that. We don't have to like it. We don't have to like it in order to respect it. And once again, I say this with a lot of emphasis, as long as you are not inciting hate, violence, division, racism, any of those things, and you're doing so peacefully and actually trying to do some good, which LeBron James has, then you know what? I'm all for it. Even if I don't always agree. I'm not saying me, but I'm just saying in general, you know?
I'll end this segment by saying that LeBron James showed respect to a man that didn't deserve it at all, nor gave him the respect with what he said about LeBron. So
yeah,
that shows me everything about LeBron and shows me a lot about Zlatan as well. So, I'll be honest. I didn't know a ton about him. He played here in my city and I could have cared less about the guy. So his comments don't mean much to me. It might be another story for the media to grab onto. And I think personally, LeBron James could care less about the guy personally, but anybody that's going to attack his kids, right? That's what LeBron James sees. Just to let you guys know.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't see a lot of times comments coming after him. He sees those comments coming after his people.
Right.
And those 300 different voices, millions of voices that he represents, and not just hundreds or thousands. He represents millions of young Black men and women and non-Black people, people of color, people such as yourself, Chris. You know, he represents more than just the Black community. And that's why, you know, LeBron James still showed respect to a man that didn't even deserve it. So shows me a lot about him.
In the words of Denzel Washington from Training Day, I walk a higher path, son.
Pelican Bay, Zlatan, when I'm done with you, that's woo.
Yeah.
If it was me, but glad it's not me. Thankfully, it's LeBron. So,
and yep, LBJ doing his thing, continues to impress on and off the court. And, you know, like I said, let's listen a little bit more. Let's respect a little bit more. Don't always have to like it. Liking and respecting are two separate things. If we all did that, we would all be better off. So I'll just end it at that. And speaking of respect, I think Damian Jones, the newest Laker on a 10-day contract, he earned a little bit of respect from fans. They got to see a little bit of what he was capable of doing in garbage time in the second half against his former squad, ironically enough, the Golden State Warriors on Sunday night. 8 points, 3 rebounds, and I think 2 block shots. He did leave the game, though, in the fourth quarter with the back strain. I think he's day-to-day right now, Chaz. But still, we got our first look at somebody that the Lakers wanted to take a flyer on. He was available, just got cut by the Phoenix Suns, a former late first round pick out of Tennessee, I believe. And of the Golden State Warriors, things haven't quite worked out with him early in his NBA career. He's now in his fifth season. He's already bounced around from the Warriors to the Hawks. Recently with the Phoenix Suns, things didn't work out there. They cut him. And the Lakers said, hey, why not? You know, this is a young, athletic big man who could rim run, who could block some shots, rebound, kind of reminds people of a kind of like a young JaVale McGee or something like that. But what were your early impressions of Damian Jones, Chaz?
I liked him. I liked the energy that he brought. I liked how he protected the rim. I liked that he has good hands. You know, like ever since having Kwame Brown, I've always looked in that in a big man. Like that's one thing that I will be thankful for Kwame Brown for, is noticing how good a big guy's hands are that's ever played for the Lakers, from Robert Sacre to Chris Kaman to Jordan Hill to, you know, all these other guys that came after him. I've always looked at a big guy big with having good hands and good footwork as well, right, and good feet. And Damian Jones has both. He was able to catch lobs. He was able to have good presence in the paint, and he played well. It's not good that he had a back strain, and I believe he's going to play because he's literally has 8 days left on his contract. So yeah. I don't know what the hell else you have to lose. So he'll play, but I think he might earn himself a spot on the roster if he is able to play with the energy that he currently has and has played with, and he's going to get some looks, especially in these last two games before his 10-day contract is over. He's going to, if he plays well against the Phoenix Suns and especially against Marvin Bagley and the Sacramento Kings, I think he might get himself a roster spot, but that's to be seen. And I think he has a shot, but ultimately more than anything, he's another big body to be able to set picks and to be able to have the versatility that's needed to give Montrez and Keefe and even Marcus all a blow at times.
Yeah. I agree. And I would like to see him not in garbage time, but I'd like to see him play like second quarter type minutes, you know, put him
he
out.
He got in the third.
He got into the third, but the game was already kind of a wrap. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him get into some more higher leverage situations and see, especially on Tuesday night against DeAndre Ayton. I would like to see how he does against a guy like DeAndre Ayton. I mean, that's a former teammate of his. So if anyone knows that Suns team and the system and everything like that, why not throw him out there, especially if Marc Gasol is in foul trouble? Or
we gonna have to, because Marc Gasol is gonna be barbecue chicken for DeAndre Ayton tonight.
You know what, though, hasn't played too badly the last week. You know, I mean, it's been up and down for him. I noticed the games where he's not in foul trouble are usually the games where he plays his best. He knocks down a couple threes. He'll block a shot or two, rebound. I mean, look, we all know what Marc Gasol is at this point. He's not what he was 5-6 years ago. He's not even maybe where he was at 2-3 years ago, but you know, he's still somewhat serviceable. And this is a guy that's going to hopefully pay dividends for you come playoff time. Not so much now during the regular season, but definitely during playoff time. So I want to give that benefit of the doubt to a former champion, a 3-time All-Star, a Defensive Player of the Year, little brother of Powell. Come on. You do it for Powell, right?
I want Dwight Howard back so bad. Like, yeah. I want JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard back so bad. It's not even funny. I will trade. If I was Rob Pelinka, I would trade Gasol for JaVale straight up right now. Right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not going to happen. They traded JaVale. They traded JaVale so they could sign Marc Gasol in the first
place. Not. It's crazy. It's not that it's not going to happen. And it's crazy the fact that you could, a year ago, you saying that would have sounded like the craziest thing in the world. But right now, Rob Pelinka would do it if he could, if the CBA would allow it. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And if Kobe Altman and if Kobe Altman said okay, but here's the thing: I'm not going to get on Gasol. Ultimately, also, I can see why Kostas and Devontae Kaycock never get in the game. Even in garbage time, those guys were terrible. I mean, my God.
Yeah, but they haven't played any meaningful games in a while. Kostas has been hurt. Kaycock, you know, and these guys aren't playing. They're not getting the reps in. See, one of the things I think that helped those guys last year was that they were playing in the G League. So even when they were kind of, you know, shuffling through between the South Bay Lakers and the Los Angeles Lakers, they were relatively fresh because they were playing. They were playing every day. So these guys, well, first of all, Kostas has been hurt. Kaycock has been in street clothes for a good chunk of the seasons. And there hasn't been many garbage time type games to get those guys any significant runs. So there's rustiness there. So, yeah, I mean, Damian Jones is relatively fresh because he was probably playing a little bit more consistently than those guys. And here's the thing. Some people were like, oh, why sign Damian Jones when Boogie Cousins was out there and Boogie had just gotten cut by the Houston Rockets? Well, here's the thing. Boogie does not provide you the type of skill set that Damian Jones provides you. Boogie could help you offensively. You could run some offense through him. He could knock down the three, could rebound a little bit. But guess what? To me, that's not a major upgrade over what Marc Gasol has given you right now. So I'm not saying that Boogie and the Lakers, that can't still happen. But I think right now, that market, the way the Lakers front office sees it, is soft for DeMarcus Cousins. So we're not going to jump on him right away because let's be honest, if people really wanted DeMarcus Cousins, somebody would have signed him by now. It's been a week since he got cut by.
It has. And I'm actually a little surprised because at least defensively, you can't say, look, the passing, the back cuts, the tip outs, whatever. Cool. Keep Gasol. But as far as defensively and protecting the rim, obviously DeMarcus Cousins isn't going to get up like that.
Right.
He's going to put a damn sure more of a fight than Gasol is these days.
Yeah.
Gasol is just getting absolutely just ran on it. That Wizards game was infuriating to me. Russell Westbrook just loving the fact that Montrezl Harrell wasn't in the game, that he had Marc Gasol to just go up against all night long. Whenever he wanted to go to the basket, he could. So, right. Again, I'm not here to get on Gasol. All I know is, man, did we sign him for 1 or 2 years?
2 years. Two years. God. But I mean, it's almost
whose option in the second year? Ours or his? Of course, it's probably his.
It might be his, but that doesn't mean just because he opts in doesn't mean Lakers can't move him or buy him out or something like that.
Of course we can. But
I'm just saying. So going back to Boogie, I think there were two things why the Lakers didn't jump on him. One is he's not a major upgrade for what we need right now. The skill set that we
overall
need,
yes,
overall is not exactly what we need.
Right.
So two, we feel we can kind of sit back and wait because his value isn't up. It was not a good situation in Houston. We saw flashes of it, but I mean, we have to also pinch ourselves. This guy hasn't really played competitive basketball in almost 2 years, right? Since the 2019 finals. So there's that aspect of it as well. And I think the Lakers are going to sit back and examine the buyout market, which really still hasn't materialized. So why not take a 10-day contract? Because with Boogie, you can't give him a 10-day contract. You would have to guarantee him that spot. And I just don't think the Lakers are ready to do that yet. With Jones, let's take the 10-day and we'll go from there. And if Cousins is still there, maybe we'll go that down that route. Go ahead.
There's a mathematical component to this as well, because you're the prorated amount of the minimum salary after the All-Star break or towards the end of March will be less than the threshold for the Lakers to get up under the cap. So there's a mathematical component to this as well on why the Lakers should wait until the end of March, beginning of April to sign somebody on the buyout market, right? We don't know. They may want Cousins, but they're just waiting, right? They can afford to wait because they have these 10 days like Damian, and because they have Gasol, and because they know they're going to get AD back probably within the next couple weeks, right? So you don't we hope, but based off of how he's looking and, you know, what Clapper said and, you know, what I think personally and what I thought personally from when he originally got hurt, to get AD back, that's actually going to be right on time and what I thought. I thought he would miss about a month, and we're 5 days away from that pretty much almost today. So there's a math, again, there's a mathematical component and the prorated amount of the minimum salary for a veteran that you may sign on the buyout market will be less than the necessary cap hit or the cap threshold to not be over the cap, which the Lakers are very, very close to being and will be as soon as they sign Schroeder to a long-term contract. Really quick, I don't want to switch gears, but I told you maybe towards the end I was going to throw a couple things at you really quick. I'm rapid fire. Why is Schroeder not signed just yet?
It's a good question. I don't know what the issue is. Is it years? Is it money? Or are the Lakers just kind of going to milk this thing? I don't know when the deadline is to actually reach an extension before you have to wait till the summertime. I don't know if they have until, you know, sometime in March or whatnot. I got to assume it's got to be sometime in March, right? So I just think right now, this is something, according to Woj, that they are serious about. This isn't just, you know, hearsay. This is something I think Rob Pelinka and Schroeder's representation do want to strike a deal on, especially considering the free agent market might be soft next year, especially with what the Lakers can offer guys on the open market. So it is important if you could land somebody 27 years old, who, as you've seen the last two games, does have a tremendous amount of value to this team and will as we move forward in the season. But I just think right now it's become, I think it's an ongoing negotiation. I think it's a numbers thing. I think it's, I think it could also be years. And I just think right now Lakers are just going to take their time. They're not going to rush it and they don't feel like they need to. And we're just going to let this process work itself out, however it may go.
Of course they're not going to rush it because they ain't got no leverage, especially after these last five games. So they're not going to rush it. I don't think Dennis Schroeder isn't signed because they don't want him. They're trying to gain more leverage because they lost almost all of it, especially in these last five games. So I think the deal will get done. Another quick thing. Is there anybody else that you think that the Lakers could or should sign on the buyout market outside of Boogie? I.e., I don't know if Blake Griffin gets bought out, Drummond gets bought out. I don't think those things are likely, but anything else on your radar that you may think?
I've been saying these two names now for a while. Robin Lopez, who we just saw a week ago, played really well against the Lakers, 13 points, 4 rebounds, good little hook shot in the lane.
I'll take him.
Tough-minded big man, played with AD early in his career, can block shots. Can even step out and knock down the mid-range jumper. I think is one of those guys you hate to compete against, but you love to have him on your team. That's a guy I've been looking at now for a while. And he's played well with other great players throughout his career. And everywhere he's gone, he's always played well. Phoenix, Portland, New York, Chicago, Milwaukee was kind of whatever. But, I mean, even this season in Washington, he's played well. And, of course, my guy, the pride of Westchester High and UCLA, Trevor Ariza, man. I saw him on Instagram recently doing a private workout down in Miami. He looks fantastic. So if he's bought out, I know he's owed $12 million this year. Not sure if Sam Presti's going to, you know, give him 80 cents on the dollar and have that dead money on the cap, even though, you know, they got all the picks that they need. But that would be somebody else. I still believe the Lakers need a tall, athletic, long wing who could also knock down the three to go up against Kawhi and Paul George in a potential second round series.
That's another reason why I think the Lakers signed Damian Jones to a 10-day contract instead of just going to get somebody on the buyout market, you know, in panic mode, essentially in response to the 4-game losing streak. Because if they wait, they can actually fill 2 roster spots.
Exactly. After cutting Quinn Cook, they have 2 roster spots.
After cutting Quinn Cook. So
Who would you like to see? Sorry to interrupt, but who would you like to see?
I'd like to see... Not likely. I'd love to see PJ Tucker on this team. PJ Tucker would go so perfect for this team, but you got to give up an asset, and that's just something that the Lakers don't have right now. Mm-hmm. Trevor Ariza, most definitely. I'd love to see Blake Griffin, but I don't think he is far enough in his career. Like, if he does get bought out and does want to come back to LA, I'm not sure how that would work because I don't think his ego is – he's not – further along enough in his career, like somebody like Dwight or somebody like that, to have less ego to be able to play the role that he needs to play. He's still going to want to have a key role on a championship team. So I would love to see Blake Griffin if he could play his role, but probably not. Drummond is not going to get bought out. That's somebody who is going to be traded likely to the Brooklyn Nets, I think, some way, somehow, or Philadelphia or something like that. I'm not sure. But somebody else that I would love to see the Lakers have is a player like just another, like you said, wing shooter, something like that. I thought you were going to say Dedmon. That's why I put my hands on my head. I think that ship has sailed. So obviously it's a foregone conclusion that Dwayne Dedmon will not be on this team. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, last thing really quick, and I know we got to get off soon, but I want to highlight Kuz. 12 points, 11 rebounds, playing the game a completely different way than he was before. And
definitely,
mind you, is doing this on a $3.6 million salary currently, set to be making $12 million next year.
And he's found his niche.
He's found his niche, and he's only going to get better from here. Shout out to Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah. I mean, he's finding ways to impact the game without necessarily knocking down shots. I mean, yeah, it's great that he can knock down shots, but I always said if he could commit to rebounding the way he was kind of doing last year before the initial shutdown in March, and if he could continue to play good on-ball defense, that's another area I'd still like to see him improve in, then you're going to take whatever he gives you offensively. I think now he's kind of found, like, this is what I need to do. I just need to crash the glass. And between him and Trez, they create so many more opportunities with tip outs, with offensive rebounds, and just the two of them together in that second unit, man, they're dynamo, and they're undersized too, but they're still able to, with their length and athleticism and their activity and effort. That's another thing that the Lakers have shown the last couple of games. It's just been great. So I'm really proud of Kuz. I'm really glad he's doing what he's doing.
Charles Barkley proved to Trez that size doesn't matter. And Trez said it himself. And Kuz had a great play where he tipped the ball out, got it to Schroeder, who swung it to KCP for a huge three. Speaking of KCP, I'm officially putting an APB out for KCP. Where you at, dog?
Well, he ended up having a decent game. He had a rough first half against the Golden State Warriors, but he ended up having a decent performance. Yeah, he started off the season hot, and then just like everyone else, just struggled to make shots. Don't forget, dude, I was putting out the hashtag Brick City when it came to the Lakers during this four-game losing streak, man, because they just could not make a single shot, and KCP was one of the culprits. So I think he's frustrated right now too. I think confidence has been an issue with him and Wesley Matthews, and I don't know, man, with Wesley Matthews. That's a $3.5 million hit. If the Lakers could find a way to even open up that spot or turn that spot into something, because he ain't playing much, if you've noticed. Wesley Matthews ain't getting in the game much at all, especially now with shooting back.
Beat defensively.
Yeah,
over and over again.
It's both. So. Yeah. I agree with you. Go. So,
No, ahead. But it's not even just shooting. You got to play defense to get on the floor for Frank Vogel.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's twofold. Yeah.
Yeah. So his defense isn't helping his shot out. His shot out isn't helping his defense, and he's just in a bad way. But you never know. LeBron James seems to pull out the best out of his teammates in the playoffs, specifically the finals. Like, to get what he got out of Mike Miller and Shane Battier and Mike Bibby, you know, in 2011, 2012.
And Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole.
Exactly. Like, he's going to get the best out of his teammates, so I'm not worried about that. But, I mean, we are in the dog days of the season right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get out of the All-Star break and you get into April, maybe you might see the light. But we are on the dog days right now, and that's when you need the depth and the players like Wesley Matthews to step up. And when they don't, that's how you get four-game losing streaks, and along with injuries.
No doubt. And I was glad to see Markieff Morris get on track against the Golden State Warriors. I know I've been pretty critical of him just throughout the whole season. I think his role has been incredibly shifty, but you know, these guys are consummate pros, and it seems as though when you give them a little bit extra rope, a little bit extra leash, you know, to go out there and play some extended minutes and meaningful minutes, they seem to find a way to reward you. And that's what we saw from Markieff Morris. So I'm glad to see that Frank Vogel's doing what he can do with the rotations. He's trying things, he's tweaking things, he's doing whatever he can to get a spark out of these guys. And you know, it appeared to that something, a light went off for somebody the last couple games. It could just be the addition of Dennis Schroeder, or it could be guys now just starting to get their second wind. Who knows? But definitely two impressive wins against Portland and Golden State. You got two more games against Phoenix and Sacramento. We'll see how those go. And then you got the All-Star break and a chance to reset, recharge, and come out hopefully, you know, on a real positive note on March 12th against Indiana. So we shall see what happens from there, man.
This Lakers team wants to be the 2000-2001 Lakers so bad. So bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we've seen from Utah these last couple of games is they can be beaten.
I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. 2001-2002. If you don't remember,
I do.
It was that team that wasn't even 500 by the All-Star break, and Robert Horry had to come out and guarantee that the Lakers would be 500 by the All-Star break. So the Lakers aren't doing that bad, but I swear they want. That's why I say they want to be that team so bad, because they are showing it. So hopefully they can pull off these last two wins, and the All-Star break does them good.
And everybody is kind of going through their ups and downs. We've seen it with Boston. They've kind of hit a bit of a rough patch. Brooklyn now, you know, with Kyrie in and out of the lineup. The Clippers are 4-4 in their last eight. So, I mean, everybody's just kind of going through it in one aspect or another. So, I mean, we can't overreact. And that includes you and I too, Chaz, because, you know, we know what this team is capable of. And I think it wasn't the fact that they lost. It was how they were losing. It was the lack of effort. It was the lack of urgency. It wasn't doing little things. I think that's what it is. You're going to, like, when they lost last year, they were still competitive. They showed a lot of fight and heart. Exactly. It's like, hey, it just wasn't their night. What are you going to do? But hey, they fought to the very end, but they were also trying to prove something. Now you're kind of like the heavy set uncle who, you know, is kind of slow paced to the dinner table and back to the couch because, hey, I just got my meal in. So I ain't as hungry. I'm not going to move as fast. I'll move when I need to move. So that's what the Lakers are right now. The hunters are now the hunted. Teams are trying to prove themselves and use them as a measuring stick of where they're at. And you're going to get a team's best shot every single night, no matter who it is. So, I mean, we shall see what happens in the second half of the season with AD coming back, what other moves they make. Because you could tell Pelinka's up to something. We just don't know what it is. And hopefully whoever they get, one, could knock down a three, and two, can defend a big wing on the perimeter, because Lakers are going to need both of those things.
In Rob, we trust.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Good job, man. Always an insightful hashtag you have put out there, and one of hope. Always one of hope.
Always and forever.
Always and forever, man. Keep that trust and that faith in Rob rolling. Okay, so that about does it for us on on this edition of the Showtime Forum podcast. Sorry we were gone last week. It's been tough now, you know, with the games every other day and whatnot, and obviously our own personal lives are still rolling along, but Chaz and I are still going to try to be here for all of you when we can, Laker Nation. So thank you for sticking by us.
No doubt, always going to be here. And you guys know where to follow me on Twitter at Chaz Pearson and on Instagram at Chaz P. Even if the Showtime Forum page is down right now, IG is still up. Our podcasts are still going. Our post game, our halftime show, we're still doing as much as we can. So until Showtime Forum gets out of jail, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Chris, where can they follow you at?
Yeah, you could definitely follow me on Twitter at Chris_Camello. I'm also on Instagram, CCamello1. Facebook, Camello's Corner by Chris Camello. And you could always follow the Showtime Forum, even though we're still down on Twitter, on Instagram, at Showtime Forum. And follow us on our website, theshowtimeforum.com, and Facebook as well. So we're still on other platforms. And be sure to download and subscribe to all of our podcasts on all major streaming platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. We're all over the place. Chaz, great stuff, man. Good to be back on with you. And we're going to be back at it again soon.
Great stuff as always. Peace out, Laker Nation. Love y'all.
Take care, everybody. Be healthy. Be safe.
Peace.